This is Rick Gentry, and I want to thank everybody for listening today to Preaching Sunday on BPNRadio.com. I'm excited to introduce to you today Pastor Richard Adarosa, and he's from Florida. We're excited about his message today. Here's Pastor Richard.
Hi, this is Rich Adarosa, Senior Pastor of Church of the Harvest in Pahokee, Florida, right on the edge of the beautiful Lake Okeechobee out here in southern Florida. And I am so thankful and so blessed to be able to share with you today from the Word of God. And we're going to be talking about the gift of righteousness today. And so as we begin, let's turn to the book of Romans, chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, we're going to begin in verse 1. And as I said, Lord, thank you for just giving us the utterance today for speaking revelation and speaking to the hearts of the hearers. Lord, thank you in advance that I declare that those hearing the word today are not just hearers of the word, but doers also. We give you thanks in advance in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm reading from the New King James, Romans chapter 10. Paul is writing here. He's writing to the Romans that are Christians, and he goes, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved." And that's the heart that each and every one of us should have, is for the salvation of the people that we have are in contact with. You know, there's certain people that you're in contact with that you have a responsibility for being a witness of Jesus to. And so Paul's talking here, being a Jew himself, he's actually talking about this in verse 12. He says, "For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge." Now, we could park here and probably preach on this for a while, but you know, there's a lot of people that are having a zeal or a desire for God. But Jesus said that he's the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except by him. But just having a zeal for God is one thing. But in order to enter relationship with God, you've got to have a knowledge of him. You've got to hear the word of God. You've got to be able to process what God's word says and receive it in your heart. And so we're going to talk about that in a minute as we talk about the gift of righteousness. He says, "For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness have not submitted to the righteousness of God." Now, isn't that just like us as human beings? I mean, we're going about trying to establish some great things in our lives, and we'd love people to think we're just the greatest thing. And often it's a natural tendency to go about to try to establish your own righteousness. Now, when we're talking about righteousness here, we're talking about being in right standing with God. Often righteousness and justification are interchanged, and I like to think of justification as just as if I'd never sinned. You've probably heard of a man by the name of E.W. Kenyon, who wrote a lot about the righteousness of God. He talked about the two kinds of faith, sense, knowledge, faith, and then the real faith that comes through the word of God. But to be righteous is the being able to stand in the presence of God without fear, guilt, or condemnation. So if you're dealing with fear, if you're dealing with guilt, and you're dealing with condemnation, you've not fully taken hold of, by faith, the righteousness that you have that was given as a gift to you when you received the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he says here, boy, the Jews, I mean, they were zealous for God. They really wanted to get to know God. But the problem is they went about establishing their own righteousness. And a lot of religions do that. They focus on going ahead and establishing their own righteousness by doing works, thinking that it's their works that make them acceptable to God and will provide them with a path for their eternal salvation. But he says here in verse 4, Romans chapter 10, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes." In other words, once you've found Jesus, once you've received Jesus and put him in your heart, then guess what? You have become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and your pursuit of righteousness has ended because you've received the gift of righteousness by faith. He said, "For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law. The man who does those things shall live by them." You know, according to the law, you would have to keep the commandments of God, but the commandments we have of God are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, and strength, and also to love our neighbor as ourself. Because in the commandment of love, all of the other laws are met. And so the only way you can meet the commandment of love is to have your nature changed. And God does it when you become born again. He says, "But the righteousness of faith speaks this way." In other words, the righteousness that comes by your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ operates this way. "Don't say in your heart, 'Who will ascend into heaven?' That is to bring Christ down from above. Or, 'Who will ascend into the abyss?' That is to bring Christ up from the dead." In other words, what he's saying is the righteousness that we have by faith, righteousness does not require Jesus to come back and do something for us. Our righteous position in Christ has been established, and nothing can change it. The righteous works that we produce in our lives are born from our spirit that has received the gift of righteousness by faith. So, what does the righteousness which is of faith, or rather, what does the faith that comes through Jesus Christ say? It says, "The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart." That is the word of faith that we preach. You see, the word that you need, the healing you need, the prosperity you need, the blessing that you need, whatever the promise of God is that you need, comes by faith. And as a righteous man or woman of God, that faith speaks the promise, the word of faith that we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation. Now let's stop there, because a lot of well-meaning people have taken this particular scripture and said, this is how you get born again. And they're right. We receive Jesus in our heart by believing with our heart and confessing with our mouth. We confess him. We believe that he is the Christ. He is our Savior. And we make confession with our mouth, and that seals the deal. Because faith has to do with what's in the heart. Faith and is spiritual, and spiritual things are of the heart, not of the head. It's possible to make a confession that Jesus is Lord, but it's just coming out of your head. It's what Kenyon would call mental assent. But mental assent does not bring righteousness. How you're feeling about yourself today does not make you any more or less righteous than when you feel good about yourself. Because spiritual things are consistent. The word is always the same. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so the word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the promise we have is when Jesus came into the earth, this word that existed in the beginning with God became flesh. This word that became flesh, Jesus Christ, walked the earth just like you do. And the righteousness that you have, that has been given to you as a gift, this righteousness that you have received and operate in by faith, is the same righteousness that Jesus has, who's seated at the right hand of the Father. Now, does that blow your mind? Well, think about it this way. As we read and go down the Roman road here in Romans chapter 10, what Paul is telling the Roman believers, what he's talking to the saints that be at Rome, read that in the beginning of the chapter 1, first few verses, he says to the saints which be at Rome. He's telling you that the same way you got born again is the same way that faith is to operate in your heart. It's the same way that you receive the righteousness of God and operate in the righteousness of God. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Listen, you're not some old beat up person that God just slapped a couple of bandages on you and made you okay. No, he made you a new creature in Christ. And that new creature that you are in Christ is a righteous creation of God. And you can stand in the presence of God without a sense of fear, guilt, or condemnation. And that's why the word says, therefore, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace. Righteousness and your position in righteousness is not meant to make you some kind of loudmouth or bully, but it's to make you understand and realize in your heart that you are in right standing with God. That's why I can demand the promises of God to come to pass in my life, because I'm righteous in him. He then says in verse 11, for the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. You won't be put to shame because you're righteous in his eyes. For there's no distinction between the Jew and Greek. For the name, or for the same Lord over all, is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call upon him? And whom have they not believed? And how shall they believe in him on whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? Verse 17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, indeed. And so you can continue to read this on your own time. But understand something, that the righteousness which is of faith, the righteous position that you have in Christ is a righteous position. And in that position, the authority that you have in Christ is released through your spoken words. I can meditate the word, meditate the word, meditate the word, meditate the word, meditate the word. But until I release my faith by speaking the word, it has no effect. When it comes to righteousness, it's the same way. You may not feel righteous, but it doesn't mean that you aren't. You are righteous because the word says so. And if you don't believe that you're righteous in Christ Jesus, you need to get into the scriptures and meditate on it and begin speaking the word. The problem, ladies and gentlemen, is most of us are so tuned into fleshly things and the disappointments of the flesh that we allow that to dominate our thinking, and ultimately it affects our believing. The way to have victory over sin, the way to have righteous fruit over sin and sickness and disease, is to focus on the righteousness of God and spend little or no time meditating on all the things that you've done that you're not happy with. You see, the way that we get victory over sin is through the Lord Jesus, through his word, through speaking his word. Stop telling everybody. Stop telling yourself that you're a nobody. Stop telling yourself and other people, I'll never get that promotion. I just don't see it can happen. I'm going to listen, you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And so if God says you are, then you are. If God says I am, I am. And we've got to use our faith. And a person who is born again has a righteousness before God that gives him the boldness to be able to speak out what God says about him and not to listen to or rely on the thoughts that come into our mind. The devil would love for you to think of yourself as some kind of a worm. But let me tell you, you're not. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now turn to the book of Romans. You're there. I want to cement a few things. If you look at Romans chapter 4, the book of Romans, I went back a little too far. Romans chapter 4, and we're going to begin in verse 2. Actually, we can begin in verse 1. And Romans chapter 4, verse 1 says, what then shall we say that Abraham, our father, has found according to the flesh? Verse 2, For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Now, let's just think about these verses for just a minute and just open them a little bit for our understanding. It was faith in God that caused God to account him as righteous. You see, faith brings the righteousness of God. Secular humanism, the flesh, it boasts in the flesh and the works of the flesh. But the works of the flesh cannot produce the righteousness which is of God in Christ Jesus. That happens by faith. In the Old Testament, believers who died in faith toward God, were in a place called Abraham's bosom. They couldn't go to heaven because their sins had not been forgiven yet, because Jesus had not gone to the cross. So God didn't just put them in hell, but God put them in a place because they were looking toward the promise. And so Jesus, when he was raised from the dead and came out of the depths of hell, he preached to those who were in Abraham's bosom, those who were held in that place. And those were all, you might call, the Old Testament saints. They didn't know Jesus. They had not heard the gospel of Jesus preached. But they were considered righteousness because they believed in God. Listen, God is not impressed by your works. God is not moved by works. God is not moved by feelings. God is not moved by condition. God is not moved by need, but God is moved by faith. So, brothers and sisters, it's important to know, God has never changed. Faith in God, faith towards God is what pleases him. He said that in order to please God, we have to live by faith. Where does the faith come from? The faith that comes from the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now let's talk about an Old Testament character. Turn to the book of James, James chapter 5. James chapter 5. I hope you're getting something out of this. And remember, I'd just love to hear from somebody. I hadn't gotten any emails or anything. And I know that I'm preaching good. And so I'm expecting to hear from y'all. James chapter 5 and verse 14. Now, we use these verses of scripture when it comes to prayer for the sick. And let me just back up here, because to me, righteousness, faith, and healing all go together. I love to preach on those three things. Today, we're preaching more on the side of faith. You know, you go up a mountain one way, you get a little bit different view than if you go up a mountain the other day. Same mountain, same plateau, but you see something a little bit differently. And so we're going up the mountainside of righteousness right now. And if we look at verse 14, let's start here. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. I want you to notice what it doesn't say. Is anyone among you sick? Let him wait for the elders of the church to figure it out and then come pray over him. No. It says, is anyone among you sick? Let him, who? The sick one, call for the elders of the church. And they will anoint him and pray over him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, there's no healing in the oil. There's healing in the name of Jesus. But the oil is a point of contact for your faith. Let's read on. And the prayer of faith, we're not talking about a prayer with a special anointing. We're talking about the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Verse 16, he says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Listen, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. What type of righteous are we talking about here? Are we talking about the prayer of somebody that just seems to do everything right? Are we talking about the prayer of somebody who's been on TV more times and so they're a little bit more righteous than somebody else? No, he's talking about them calling for the elders because the elders represent people that are spiritually mature and have been involved in this faith stuff for a period of time. And so they know how to pray the prayer of faith. But it says right here that the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. When it says avail much, it literally means makes much power available. So the righteousness that we're talking here is the righteousness of God that we have in Christ Jesus. And it's a right person. The prayer of faith is based on a righteous person standing, believing the word of God, because he doesn't or she does not have the sense of fear, guilt, or condemnation before their Holy Father, because they're bold, because they knew who they are in Christ. Hallelujah. And then he's going to talk about an example here that's awesome. He says Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. Now remember, in the Old Testament, if you lived in faith and operated in faith towards God, God accounted it to them as righteousness. He accounted it to them. They had not yet been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, but it was accounted to them. And so to speak, God kind of gave it to them on credit. And he prayed and it wouldn't rain. And it didn't rain in the lands for 3 years. And he prayed again and the heaven gave rain and the earth produced its fruit. So I want you to see this now. We've got a man who is not the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, but he's a prophet of God, and God has assigned to him righteousness because of his faith in God. And if Elijah could pray that it wouldn't rain, and then he could pray that it would rain, how much more can you and I, who are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, pray the prayer of faith and see God move in a powerful way? I love what it says here. He was a man like us. He was a man with a nature like us. He was a guy that was up and down. You know, a lot of times, and this is what's amazing to me, and because I've never been through any particular formal Bible school training, although I've been to lots of seminars and I've studied a lot of the Word and worked with a lot of wonderful ministers. You know, we think that we get elevated to a certain point because of our degrees and all that stuff. But listen, you can have a beautiful knowledge of the Bible and just be living a defeated life. The life that I desire to see believers live is a life that comes by believing the Word of God. In your righteous position in Christ, you can pray just like Elijah prayed. You can pray in faith and believe God for tremendous things to take place. But the faith we're talking about is based out of God and His Word. You're going to have to follow His Word. You're going to have to live right. And that's why He made you righteous, because that righteous fruit is beginning to develop in you. Let's look at, just for a moment, I'm just allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to me here. If we go back to the book, I think, is it Ephesians or Galatians? Hold on a second. I'll tell you where to go in just a minute, and then you can go there. Here it is. He says, finally, brethren, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. You say, how do I do that? By faith. By faith. How do I do that? And how do I do that? How does that work? By faith. Your faith lays hold of the grace of God and your faith brings it into manifestation. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. He didn't say put on the armor of God as you begin to develop it and get the pieces from Amazon.com. He said today, right now, put on the full armor of God. Why? Because it's available to you. Now, is it physical armor? No. We're talking about spiritual armor. You're not going to defeat the devil in your own strength and your own ability. If you think you're going to, by establishing your own righteousness, by doing your own things, if you think you're just going to defeat him, then let me tell you something, you're in for a rude awakening. You got to be strong in the Lord, and the way you do that is by faith. And the way you do it is based on believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth and not basing it on the way you feel today. Well, I don't really feel that good today, so I think I'm going to stay home from work. In fact, I think I'll call in sick. Now, think about that trap right there. You call in sick when you're not sick. Is that operating in truth? Are you operating in the Word where the Word says, lie not to one another? But yet, so oftentimes we delve into this thing, and instead of pushing through by faith, by believing what God's Word says, that with his stripes I'm healed, and I may feel a little bit tired today, but I'm gonna push through this. I'm gonna believe God. I'm gonna step out in faith, and I'm gonna do exactly what God wants me to do today by going to work. You see, God looks at these things. He says, "Take the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in the evil day, or the day of that comes against you, and having done all to stand." In other words, despite whether it looks like it's changed or it's the same, you stand and don't move. Faith is not does not waver. It's not like the willow tree. Faith is like the oak. You read about the man who doesn't stand in the way of the ungodly. It says, but he's planted like a tree in living water. That word tree in the Amplified is talking about an oak of righteousness. You're established. Your heart is established on God and his word. And no matter how you feel, no matter what your five senses are telling you, you're standing in the armor of God, and you're not going to move until God tells you to move. But what I really wanted to call your attention to here is this. Therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of what? Righteousness. Now let's think about this a minute. Why is it important? Why does Paul refer to your righteousness as a breastplate? Because what does a breastplate do? It covers the most vulnerable parts of your body. That's why your understanding and your revelation of your righteousness in Christ Jesus is an extremely important thing to build in your heart and to speak out of your mouth. So friends, develop your faith in the fact that you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and that breastplate that you're operating in will keep your heart protected. You see, God has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, it says in 2 Peter, but they come through the knowledge of him. So if you hear a message like we're preaching today, understand that it's not enough to just hear it one time. But build your faith as the Holy Spirit leads you, and begin to understand that you are a righteous creation in Christ Jesus. If you're not born again, then you can become born again by receiving Jesus. You've heard the message today. We know that by his stripes we were healed. We know that he went to the cross to pay for our sins. And as we receive him in our heart and confess him as Lord, he comes on the inside of us and makes us new creatures in Christ Jesus. Well, the time sure went quick this time, but I'd love to hear from you. Please write to us at Church of the Harvest, P.O. Box 181, Pahokee, Florida, 33476, or check us out on Facebook and get involved. We'd love to hear from you. There's so many wonderful things going on in the ministry here. We're a small church, but we're taking the world for Jesus. Thank you so much for listening to the message today.